You're listening to Radio Albion, talk radio for the nationalist community.
Welcome to the Daily Nationalist. Today's date is Monday the 21st of February 2022, and you're listening to me, Sven Longshanks, streaming at radioalbion.com. Well, today we're going to look at some of the political bias that there is in the civil service. And it's the civil service that provide the information to the MPs that the MPs then talk about to the public and then use in their debates. And the civil service is supposed to be completely unbiased, non-partisan. They're just supposed to give the unvarnished facts to the MPs. And of course, they don't do that. They're all left-wing. And they stay in place when the politicians get replaced by new politicians. So their ideas and the ideology that the civil service has, that remains the same regardless of what politician is in place. And this is why we end up with no real difference between the Conservative Party and the Labour Party. They're all following what the civil service do. The civil service is supposed to serve the politicians, but in actual fact, what they serve up is politically biased. So you end up with a vicious circle. You end up with the government telling the civil servants how they want to do things, and the civil servants report back to the government, and it just continues like that, and things just get worse and worse, and the government end up becoming more and more distant from what actually goes on in the street and what the actual result of the laws are that they end up making in Parliament, particularly the Public Order Act and the laws restricting our speech. And this particular incident that I want to talk about today is some of the training that's being given to these civil servants. So-called racial awareness training given to British civil servants reportedly advocates for more immigration and also denounces pub socials and all-white panels interviewing black job candidates. And racial awareness is what we talk about here at Radio Albion. We think people should be aware of race, particularly aware of your own race, because nobody else is going to do their best for your own race. You need to be doing your best for your own people. That doesn't mean that you don't dislike other people or wish harm to others. It just means that you understand that if you're not doing your best for your people, who else is going to do that for you? So we advocate racial awareness here at Radio Albion, and we advocate learning about the differences that there are between the races so that you can find out what your race is good at, and then you'll understand what you are good at and what you can concentrate on to be the best example of your race or ethnicity that you can be. I doubt very much whether that's the sort of racial awareness that is being talked about here, though. Of course, what they mean by racial awareness here is about how privileged white people are. Racial awareness training administered to British civil servants operating out of Whitehall, the heart of the country's state apparatus, is reported to openly advocate for more immigration into Britain, which is a policy, isn't it? It's a government policy. So they're breaking their guidelines to be impartial, and they're pushing for more immigration into Britain, which is essentially just replacing the indigenous people of Britain. The indigenous people of Britain were never asked if they would like to be replaced. Any time that they are asked about it, they say, well, we would like to limit immigration. And the Conservative Party promised to do that. And of course, every time they get in, they do the complete opposite. Since Boris Johnson has been in office, they've given all these visas to Chinese in Hong Kong. They've told everybody in Afghanistan, if you want to come to Britain, just let us know and we will find a place for you. I mean, we learned last week that something like a third of all the Afghans that have been imported into Britain have actually already been given homes. And of course, this is at the expense of the indigenous British people who are on the list trying to get themselves a home. And of course, we talk about this because we want the government to change policies. We don't talk about this because we want people to blame the Chinese or blame the Afghans. They are certainly not to blame for this situation. Our own elected representatives are to blame for this situation. The training, lambasted as absurd by one internal source, also gives examples of pub socials as possibly being discriminatory, and also states that a panel of all white men should not hold job interviews for black women. And that is very insulting to white people. I mean, we like to think of ourselves as unbiased. Most white people would go out of their way to show how unracist they are and would be trying to find reasons to give the job to the black woman. That's the way that people are. We don't want to be seen as being discriminatory, and yet we're told all the time that we have this unconscious bias here. Now, say somebody is interviewing a black woman for the job and they think that she's not really suitable for it. Perhaps she's not doesn't have the qualifications. Perhaps she's doesn't have the right references, and then they say, "Well, we think you're not quite good enough for the job." Well, she is going to look at the way that the media are, and the way that she's been told that white people are discriminatory against blacks, and she's going to think that she hasn't been given that job because she's black, and she hasn't got the job. She wanted the job. She thinks that she's good enough for the job. What other reason could there be that she hasn't been given the job? Well, it's because it was an all-white panel. They must be all racist. And of course, you're never really going to be able to get rid of this. All the while you have multiculturalism, there's going to be this resentment. People are going to be having a fear that they haven't been given whatever it is they wanted because of their race. And what they're saying here is, well, the solution to this is that we shouldn't have panels of all white men, that there should be some black women on that panel as well. But if you really want to eliminate this, then the panel should be all black women, surely. It should be all black women. There was a black footballer the other day who was, he sent out a tweet, I think it was, and he was saying all of us black footballers should get together and we should go to Africa and we should build football stadiums there and we should revive the economy and we should do great things and we should be with our people. And that is a great sentiment to have. And that is the sort of thing that we want to support. And of course, he probably looks at us, nationalists, British nationalists, he probably looks at us as racist and thinks that we're supremacists. And for some reason, we just dislike black people. And in actual fact, we have the same sentiment that he has. We just want to be with our own people. We believe that if we are with our own people, then we will be free to go in the direction that we wish to go. And that's what he was saying. He was saying, I wish to be with my black people and I wish to do what's best for black people. And that is a very commendable way to be, because he understands that that is what is natural. It's not natural to be living in a multicultural state. And it's really admitting this. The civil service are really admitting this when they say that there shouldn't be a panel of all white men. There should be somebody black that's on that panel. They're saying that because the black interviewees feel more at home amongst their own people. And they feel that they're not going to be discriminated against by their own people. And even if you did have some black people that were on that panel and you still didn't get the job, there could still be that idea nagging at you that it was the white people on there that ganged up, or they may think that the black people that were on that panel, they were white supremacists, because this is what we're told now. We're told that black people can also be white supremacists. Anyone black that holds conservative views is going to be accused of being a white supremacist and upholding the white power structure. And none of this would exist if it wasn't for this policy of multiculturalism. So what they're doing here, I mean, they're admitting that it is better for black people to be among black people Otherwise, they wouldn't be suggesting this, that they have to have a black woman on this panel. According to the report, slides from the civil servant racial awareness training describes the statement, "The country is full, we can't take any more immigrants," as being as offensive as it is inaccurate. Offensive? Is it offensive to think that your country is full when it takes 6 months to get seen by the NHS, when the school classrooms are oversized and bursting at the seams, when you have to leave half an hour early in order to get into work because the roads are chock-a-block, and we're being told we need to build a number of houses the size of a small city every year just to cope with the people that are coming in? I mean, it is accurate to say that the country is full. If you compare the number of people in the country today to the number of people there were in the country 70 years ago, then you could say, well, the country it is more than full. If you look at the farmland and how much food that we could actually produce for ourselves, then we're definitely full. The country is definitely full. I mean, it's not an offensive statement to say that the country is full, and to say, well, we can't take any more immigrants because of that is really just common sense. We live on a small island. We don't have limitless resources here. We have a small number of resources. The more people we bring into the country, the more we have to provide for them, the more houses we have to build, and that gets built on the Greenbelt land because we don't have any more land left to build upon that is not Greenbelt land. It will change the whole way that the country looks. And if you are concerned about the environment and you're concerned about how beautiful Britain is and you want it to stay like that, how can that be referred to as an offensive view? And this is a view that a lot of people have in Britain, is that the country is full and then we shouldn't take any more immigrants. And yet the civil service are being told this is offensive and it is inaccurate. So it's offensive just to be concerned about your country now. Instead, the slides go on to discuss the benefits of immigration. Although polls show that the public who are opposed to it are increasing, and they have voted for a Conservative Party which claimed it would cut the influx in the last four general elections. So the public want immigration to be slowed down or halted, and yet the civil service are being told, well, that's an offensive view to have. And instead of talking about the negatives that are associated with immigration, they just talk about the benefits. They don't seem to pay any attention to the negatives and the things that people are worried about and concerned about. It's as if they just have this one thing that they must do, which is to import as many different people into the country as possible and to have them as different as possible from the actual people that are already here. And just as an aside to this, a lot of it comes about because of the asylum laws. But those asylum laws were created for Europeans in European countries that may need to claim asylum and have refugee status. And the only country that is actually doing that is Russia. Russia is taking in thousands of Ukrainian, Russian refugees from Ukraine right at this very moment. They're the only people that are actually taking in Europeans into their country under these asylum laws. Our governments are just importing people from all over the world under this guise of, oh, we're just protecting them from oppressive regimes in their own countries. This is straightforwardly political advocacy from the civil service, one source at the heart of the British government said. Also included within the training material are references to two example scenarios from which lessons in racial awareness are meant to be derived. In the first, two co-workers named Amir and Nita don't want to go to a pub social organised by their colleagues because they were brought up not to drink. Why can't they go to the social and not drink alcohol? Surely there will be people there that were brought up to drink alcohol that won't actually be drinking alcohol there because they will have to drive home. I mean, it's a big part of British tradition to have a pub and to go to the pub. You don't necessarily have to drink. There are plenty of people who have problems with alcohol that don't drink, and they just drink soft drinks, and yet they will still go to a pub because that's where the social event has been organised. And I don't see what is so offensive about that, or why people should change. I mean, what are they suggesting? Are they suggesting that to have a social event, it should be perhaps in a hookah cafe where they smoke those hookah pipes, shish kebab pipes, or whatever it is that they call them? I'm sure they might do that once in a while. They could do that for a change. But generally, if you want to have a social event here in Britain, the place is going to sell alcohol, isn't it? It's not discriminatory to say that. They say because work will be discussed at the event, the training alleges that the two who have been invited but have refused to attend may be being discriminated against. They're not being discriminated against. They're being treated equally, the same as everyone else. They can always go to the pub and just not order alcohol. It's not like somebody is forcing them to drink. They're not putting a funnel down their throats and pouring beer down it. They're just suggesting that a social event could take place in the local pub. Direct discrimination, indirect discrimination, and harassment are all also potentially taking place in this scenario, the training claims. So you're discriminating against people and you are harassing them by asking them if they would like to come to the pub for a works outing. In another example, a black woman is made uncomfortable when going for an open position because those interviewing her are all white men. And again, I mean, you can say, well, if you were to reverse this and a white woman was to be going into a situation where it was all black men, I'm sure the white woman would also feel uncomfortable. But that is not because anybody's being racist. It's just because you're going to feel far more comfortable amongst your own people than you are amongst another people. And this one here really does highlight the problem with multiculturalism. She arrives to find that the entire interviewing panel is made up of middle-aged white men. The panel members find it difficult to build a rapport with Fumzilli, who in turn feels uncomfortable and struggles to answer their questions. The training reads, well, wouldn't it be so much better if she was going to a job interview and it was her own people? And they would definitely be building a rapport with Fumzilli, and she wouldn't feel uncomfortable and she wouldn't struggle to answer their questions. The solution to this isn't more multiculturalism, is it? The solution to this is to stop the multiculturalism. They say this is an example of unconscious bias. I mean, how is this unconscious bias? Are they saying that the panel members there are biased towards her? I mean, it's not that. It says here that they find it difficult to build a rapport with her. That's not because of any bias. It may be because they don't understand her accent. It may be because she's very different to them. Again, this is all problems caused by multiculturalism, which you're not just going to be able to get rid of because people like their cultures. People like their ethnicity. They don't want to lose their ethnicity, do they? I mean, this is the point here. Fumzilli is happy being a black woman, and she doesn't want to change being a black woman, does she? And what we're being told here is that we have these white people here, and they need to change to accommodate Fumzilli. Surely what would be best for all around is if nobody had to change, and when you went for a job interview, it was your own people, so they weren't having to make exceptions for you, and so that you didn't have a doubt in your mind that you'd only been given the job because of what race you are. The course material reportedly goes on to claim the lack of diversity within the interview makes it difficult for them to relate to Fumzilli. This in turn makes her more nervous and affects how she performs. So they are admitting what I'm saying here. It's the very fact that there aren't lots of black people there on the interview panel. That is what is causing the problem for Fumzilli. So she wants to be amongst her own people, doesn't she? So why are we forcing everybody to live amongst other peoples in this unnatural situation? Why aren't we encouraging Fumzilli to live amongst her own people? And why aren't we encouraging white people to live amongst white people? Why is it we have to have these multicultural zones, which just cause all these problems, and we have to have all these policies to try to even things out, which you can't even out, because people are different to one another. That's the whole reason why we have different races and different ethnicities, is because people are different to one another, just the same as every individual is different. Each ethnicity and each race is different. And that's really what should be focused on here. Not claiming that actually we're all the same, but at the same time, we have to be aware of race and make all these special exceptions for these other races. The growth of so-called unconscious bias and racial awareness training, as well as hate speech legislation restricting expression both online and offline, has remained particularly strong in Britain. So despite all the hate speech legislation, we're still being told we have all this unconscious bias and racial problems. And when they do these polls about how racist people feel Britain is, they continually say, well, it's still racist. So all these policies that we've had for the last 70 years to try to eliminate racism, they've all failed, basically. Because the only way there is to eliminate it is to just have homogeneous communities of one particular race. This is despite the fact that the Conservative Party, which regularly pays lip service to the idea of protecting free speech and tackling woke agendas, have been in power within the country since 2010. So 12 years they've been in power, they talk about free speech, and yet we have all these attempts to remove free speech from the internet, and we have the civil service being taught about unconscious bias and racial awareness, and how immigration is a great thing, completely against what the public think. In recent weeks, it has become clear that the party aims to implement further legal curbs on speech within Britain, targeting so-called hate speech, as well as so-called legal but harmful content online. So just think about that, content which is not illegal, content which people have deliberately made sure is not illegal because they want to exercise their right to free speech, and at the same time they understand that that is weighed up against the need for public order. So people are very careful about what they say online, and they're being told, well, we're going to make what you say illegal anyway. Even if it is legal, we're going to claim that it's harmful, and then we're going to punish you anyway. It's kind of like saying if somebody stays within the speed limit and they don't go over 30 miles an hour, and then the police say, ah, yes, well, you're doing 28 miles an hour. We think that that's harmful enough, so we're going to punish you anyway. I mean, it's very fuzzy here. It's basically saying we're going to punish people for who they are rather than what they've actually said. While speech controls in the United Kingdom are already particularly harsh, with police repeatedly interrogating members of the public to check their thinking, and that's a direct quote, regarding potentially offensive social media posts, senior government figures are looking to clamp down even further with the advent of a so-called online harms bill. Under the proposed legislation, social media companies will become more accountable to state media regulator Ofcom, with tech bosses who don't comply with new legislation regarding hate speech and child safety concerns facing fines and possible prison time. So what they're going to do here is they have an organisation called Ofcom, which basically regulates television and radio, licensed television and licensed radio. And what they're going to do is they're going to get this company, Ofcom, to use the same regulations that they have for the TV and the radio to regulate what people say in their spare time, to regulate people's conversation, the sort of thing that we say here at Radio Albion, which is the equivalent of talking to somebody on the telephone, basically, and what people say on social media when people speak their thoughts. And it's the equivalent of people talking in a pub, and they want to have this organisation, Ofcom, regulating that. They think that is reasonable to be doing that. I mean, this is going to be the worst clampdown on free speech ever, to have a state media regulator regulating what people say to one another online. This seems to go significantly beyond what is done in democratic countries around the world. It feels a bit closer to what they are doing in China, one unnamed tech insider is reported to have said regarding the proposed measures. And of course, in China, you have a lot more free speech than we have here. I mean, there's one rule in China, which is that you don't delegitimize the government. You don't delegitimize the party, but you are certainly free to talk about the negative effects of government policies, because how else are you going to change policy for the better? And this is the problem with people that criticize what we're doing here at Radio Albion. We are pointing out problems in the country, and we're trying to find solutions for them. And the reason why we're doing that is because we love our country and we love our people. We're good people that are trying to do the best for everyone. And that's why we discuss these things, not because we hate people or we want to incite hatred against anyone. They understand this in China. If there are people that are saying, well, this policy of the government's, it's having a negative effect on people, it's caused an increase in crime, then the government say, well, that's good. We want to hear if one of our policies is having a negative effect on you. What do you suggest we do to solve this problem? They're not going to say, well, you're inciting hate against a minority group here by talking about the negative effect of government policies. And this is the way that things have gone in Britain. I dare say that there are politicians and people in government who genuinely do think that these laws are there to prevent incitement of violence against minorities. But the way that they are now used is to prevent legitimate criticism of government policy and the suggestion of alternative solutions to these problems. Hate speech rules in the UK have repeatedly been lambasted by critics, with Graham Lynham, who created the hit television show Father Ted, recently claiming that the laws were being used by trolls and con men to harass their opponents. "I've been confronted 3 times by police on the orders of online trolls," said Lynham, who has spoken out against transgender self-identification laws in the past. "The police in the UK have been acting on behalf of what is essentially a criminal gang of misogynists and con men who use muddled laws to avoid scrutiny and criticism." And I would include in that groups like Hope Not Hate that try to get the police to shut down people who have different opinions to them, people like ourselves who are trying to find solutions for the problems that our country face. And they don't want the public to hear the solutions that we come up with. They want the public to think that we just inexplicably have a hatred of skin colours for some unknown reason, which couldn't be further from the truth. Graham Lynham has previously written about how he has been requested for an interview by UK police over what he believes are reports made by so-called trans rights activists. "Every policeman I spoke to was embarrassed at having to do it," Lynham said, in relation to UK cops forced to look into so-called non-crime hate incidents. Lynham also praised a recent court ruling which found that police had acted unlawfully in their treatment of former cop Harry Miller. And we've discussed this at length here. Despite Miller having committed no crime, a member of the police phoned up Miller in order to check his thinking regarding content the ex-law enforcement officer posted on social media. "I'm hoping Harry's victory will spell the end of a grim chapter in UK policing," Lynham said. His comments come after UK Home Secretary Priti Patel announced that she would replace current police guidelines over the threat they pose to free speech. "The police will always have my backing to fully investigate hate crimes, but they must do so while protecting the fundamental right of freedom of expression," Patel said. "Some current practices are having a dangerous impact on free speech and potentially stopping people expressing their views." So how does that square with this new Ofcom ruling to police what people say on social media? She says she wants to back free speech, but it's quite clear that the result of involving Ofcom is going to be a chilling effect on free speech. The Home Secretary promised that the new guidelines, and this is to do with these non-crime hate incidents, would ensure that those who speak out on controversial issues such as transgenderism will be protected from criminal investigation. We want officers to focus on policing actual crime, not hurt feelings, said one government source in relation to the guidelines. However, despite these statements made by UK government insiders, strict rules regarding speech remain in place. Of particular note are the rules of the nation's media regulator, Ofcom, which bans the airing of hate speech on programmes. So this is the organisation that is going to be brought in to censor and regulate social media, which, and they'll probably include websites and all sorts online with this. And this is what they seek to censor. All forms of expression which spread, incite, promote or justify hatred. And of course, that would just be criticism, because just criticizing a member of another group now is described as hatred or inciting hate by our opponents. So all forms of expression which spread, incite, promote or justify hatred based on intolerance on the grounds of disability, ethnicity, social origin, gender, sex, gender reassignment, nationality, race, religion or belief, sexual orientation, colour, genetic features, language, political or any other opinion, membership of a national minority, property, birth or age. So basically you're not going to be able to talk about any of those things if somebody of one of those groups says, well, I don't like what you're saying. I don't like what you're saying. It hurts my feelings. Therefore, you are inciting hate based upon whatever the characteristic is. I mean, it's bad enough that they do this with the mainstream media, but to police people's conversation, just normal citizens' conversation online, as if there was a police officer there in the pub holding everybody to the same standards that there are on television. And it's just ludicrous to expect to hold people to the same standards that they have on television and on the radio when they're talking to one another. And it will be particularly used to target people that represent the opposition to the government, basically. The genuine opposition, not the Labour Party, but the genuine opposition, the nationalist opposition. What's more, under the new Online Harms Bill, the reach of the regulator looks set to expand even further, with tech bosses who refuse to cooperate with Ofcom to soon face criminal sanctions, including jail time, under proposed rules. So if these social media companies don't take down posts which are not illegal, but that the government think could be harmful in some way, remember these are just words, they're going to punish the social media companies. I mean, contrast that with Hungary and Poland, who have brought in laws to punish the tech companies if they take down posts which are still legal. They said that they can only take down posts which are illegal. The sort of posts that the British government are talking about here, posts which don't actually break the law, but they think are harmful, they're going to punish the tech companies for that if they take them down. And in Hungary and Poland, posts which don't break the law, and if the company take them down, they're going to be fined by Hungary and Poland. Which of those two scenarios is the one that is protecting free speech and protecting debate? I mean, we need to have debate so that we can find solutions to the problems that we have. And the British government's way of dealing with it is to say, well, if we make it illegal for you to define the problem, then the problem's going to go away, isn't it? And quite clearly, the problem hasn't gone away, because all the polls show that people think that racism is still increasing. All the polls show that people don't want more immigration. And it's just common sense that multiculturalism is completely unnatural and can only end in causing problems between the different peoples that are all forced to live together within one territory. So just to finish up here, we have the civil service advocating for no more immigration, whilst at the same time admitting that if you are amongst a race that is not your own, then you're going to feel uncomfortable. But they only apply that to this black woman with a white panel of people. And then we have the British government telling us that they want to preserve free speech, and they want to make robust laws to allow free speech, while at the same time they are empowering the regulator of television and the radio to start regulating people's private speech to one another on social media. Well, let's hope that more people like ourselves here at Radio Albion point out the inconsistencies there, and it doesn't actually get through Parliament. But I'm not holding my breath for that one. Anyway, thank you very much for listening. I will be back tomorrow with more of the Daily Nationalist for you. God bless and hail victory.
You're listening to Radio Albion, talk radio for the nationalist community.